I believe we're up to chapter 32, and we're up to verse 36, Lamed Vav, subsection Lamed Vav. Now, we're talking about different letters that are written, and the words that are written in the parshas of the Tefillin, that you must be careful to write them exactly the way the tradition is. Sometimes the words can be spelled in two ways. Like, mainly it's mole and chaser. Mole means full, fully spelled out. Chaser means it's lacking, meaning it's not fully spelled out. Because, you know, in the Hebrew we have the vowels. But in the Torah there is no vowels. So, when there is an O sound, for example, a cholam, an O sound, so it either sometimes comes with a vav, that would be called a mole, then there's a vav together with the O sound, or sometimes it's without the vav. Take, for example, in this case, we're going to talk about the word matzis. One of the words it talks about also in the Tefillin, it talks about the festival of matzis, about going out of Egypt. This is the portion of, in the portion of Boy, in the end over there, where it says the word matzos. Now, matzos is spelled mem tzadik. Mem tzadik. It can be either spelled sof, that you don't have the vav, or it can be spelled with a vav. So it's either mem tzadik vav sof, or it's mem tzadik sof. But in the portion, what we write over there, it's written without a vav. That's the right way to do it. So he says like this, it's questionable. What happens, b'matzis? The word matzis, mem tzadik sof, shemishpata li is chaser. So the right way to do it is that it has to be without the vav. The way, the tradition, the way it's written in the Torah, it's written mem tzadik sof without the vav in there. But what happens, the scribe made a mistake, the kosva moli. And he went and he wrote it with a vav. So he wrote mem tzadik vav sof. Should just be mem tzadik sof. He has an extra vav. What does he do with that extra vav over there? So one way of doing it is, the question is, im moyil arichas hatzadik lemato, whether it will help stretching the base of the tzaddik, of the letter tzaddik on the bottom, stretching it to the sof by and removing after he's going to scrape off the vav. So he has mem tzaddik vav sof. He has to get rid of the vav. So he's going to take out the letter vav. Now what's going to happen if he takes out the letter vav? What happens between the tzaddik and the sof? Now you have a space over there, an empty space. That's a separate word. You can't have an extra space. So what he wants to do is, he's going to take the foot of the tzaddik and he's going to stretch it all the ways up till the letter sof to fill in the space that is in between the tzaddik and the sof. So he took out the vav and he stretches the bottom of the tzaddik that it should reach till the sof. So he says, it's a question whether you can do that. Why? Because at one point, before you stretch that tzaddik, right, there was a space. It looked like two separate words. You had in one place, you had the mem and the tzaddik in one side. Then you had a space. And then you had a sof on the other side with a space in the middle. And now, kishemo koloiche namarich ois lamaylo, as long as you hadn't drawn the letter further above, meaning to the next letter at the bottom of it, you hadn't pulled it before, that would be considered like two words. So now you're connecting two words. Now you're making two words into one word that you can't do now, because after you've written, that would be shalei kisidron. In that case, you can't do that maybe. V'chein b'noisen shemishpata. Same thing is also, there's another word. There's a noisein. Noisein, again, noisein is spelled nun, sof, nun. Noisein. Now, you could conceivably write it nun vav saf nun. Noi, the cholam over there would have vav. So if he made a mistake and he wrote nun vav saf nun, so the question is also shemishpatal is chaser. But by right it needs to be nun saf nun. But he wrote an extra vav. So the question is, does it help imoyil arichas anun lamata? Would it help to stretch the bottom of the nun to the tav after you lachar achagrir savov, after you scrape off the vav? So that's a questionable. So he says like this, not sure. Says umekol mokayim. Nevertheless, he says kol sheniris kebeis tevas pesula. He says, this is a question. It seems to me that what he's saying over here, if I understand it, even though it's a question whether that would help him or not, but if it looks like two letters, because even though you stretch the bottom, but since at the top is a space, it looks like two separate words. If it looks like two separate words, it's no good. It's not going to help you that it's questionable whether you can erase it and connect it in the first place. But if it looks like two separate words, even though it's connected, then that would not be good. Now, he's wondering about something else. If what happens is, sometimes you see, like if you write a nun, and the bottom nun is a little bit long, and you put the vav like inside the nun. So instead of the vav being in a space by itself, the vav is sitting on top of the nun. So you have a nun, and then you have the vav sitting there. So he said like this, Aval im betchilas haksiva, if when you're writing, mamshich regel hatachten shel hanun, let's say you stretch out the bottom leg of the nun, or vehatzadi, or the tzadik, you're stretching out, you leave it, you pull it out further, v'koysef ha'ois hasmucha besoicha kozeh, and you write the next letter that is to it inside it. So it's inside of the letter it stretched out. Because that, like it says, Bibnei, or Hoitzionu. So Bibnei, here, take a look over here in my Shulchan Aruch over here. You see? So here, the Nun, the Yud is on top of the Nun. You see? It's inside the Yud, on top of the Nun. Or the same thing is the tzaddik. You see, it's a long tzaddik, and the yud is sitting over the tzaddik. It's inside of the tzaddik. It's like bibnei or hoitzionu. So in this case, it's kosher. It's kosher. It doesn't matter. The yud doesn't have to be over a white space. Even though it's on top of that stretch, then it's going to be kosher. Ubilvad shelo yimshach yeser midai. Provided that you don't pull it too much. Now it doesn't say what is considered too much. Maybe too much that there's going to seem like a gap already between this letter, because from the bottom it's very long and on the top it's far away. It still looks like maybe two letters. I'm not sure exactly what is the shear. They said, if you, let's say, stretched it much too much in order to fill the line, you know, when you write the lines, you want to elbow them to end by the margin, by the left margin. So if you look at the Sefer Torah, sometimes they have a very long stretched out so that it will reach to the other margin. So if you wrote it very much, very long to fill the line, yeshli is topic in kosher and lav. So it's questionable whether it's kosher or not. Now he's talking in a case where you have the yud inside of the tzaddik or the yud inside of the nun. That will be questionable because you're filling the line. If you're not filling the line, then it wouldn't be kosher, he said, if it's too long. But in a case where you're trying to fill up the line, whether it be kosher or not, it's questionable. He says, and we should show it to a child who's neither too smart nor too foolish, just like we do with any letter that we have a suffix. We ask them to read it. What does it look like? It seems like almost that what happens is when you stretch it, when you stretch a tzaddik too long,
it loses its shape. It's no longer called a tzaddik. And probably the child is not going to read it as a tzaddik. You make, there's a, it has to be proportionate. So the nun, if you have a nun and you have a leg, if you make it a little bit bigger, it still looks like a nun. But if you make it too long, then it looks like a whole different letter. So apparently if it's the middle of the line, that's a question. But if it, I mean, that's that would be too much, would be no good. But if you're doing it to finish up the line, maybe that's different. I mean, again, that's what it seems over here. I mean, these are all the particulars that you have to be careful with the writing. Always bring in, like in this case, the Rebbe brought in the, you say about the bomb, the atom bomb, because that was at that time. But did you read about the book about the chess, the Rebbe's metaphor from the chess? This guy Reshevsky, he was like a champion in play. Fisher came afterwards, but he kept, yeah, but he kept, he kept the sort of, he was a from Jew. He lived actually in Eastern Parkway. Yeah, no, this Reshevsky. Yeah.
But you can't play chess on the Shabbos.
Well, that's a question.
Debatable thing, yeah.
But this Reshevsky,
yes,
he was married to Mindik's sister. So he was married, you know, his Reshevsky. He was actually a champion in chess, and he kept Shabbos, and the Rebbe learned the metaphor from the chess, how, you know, how there is the king. And the king is the metaphor for Hashem. And the Rebbe learned the metaphor from the fact that a pawn, which seems, you know, everybody is protecting the king, and everybody's trying to protect the king. So we're all protecting, you know, Hashem, his honor. But then, how the pawn, the very simple action, the person, the pawn represents human beings. Because we're just simple. The knights, the castles, the horse over there, the bishops, they represent the angels, because relative to us, the angels and the bishops and all these things, they can jump backwards, forwards, they can go, a human being can only go one step at a time. He's very, very limited. Only the first move you can do is two. But other than that, and you can't go backwards, you can only go frontwards. So he says, so the angels represent more power, more abilities than the human beings. They go back and forth, and everybody is praising and protecting the king. But look what happens, he says. But the pawn, who represents the human being, once he reaches to the other side of the board, he can actually become a queen. He can come right next to the king to become a queen. A bishop, a castle, a knight, they cannot become a queen. They can only become, stay what they are, which represents that a human being, although he's limited, he can only do a little bit, he can only walk a step at a time, but yet he has the tremendous ability, once he gets to the other side meaning he gets to the world to come, after completing his job, he can go into a high level, become like the queen, which is much higher than even than all the other ones that are protecting him. But yet, the king always stays alone. Hashem, he's alone. That's the metaphor. So the Rebbe took every matter of life, he took it into the metaphorically. So similar over here, when we talk about letters, about stretching it, still have to remain, everything has to remain and done the way they are. A lot of times, you know, people find that it's necessary to go the extra mile to accommodate. And in Yiddishkeit also, the same is true, that, you know, we have our tradition from centuries that has been passed on from generation to generation, but a lot of time there is a gap between the people who live in now times. How are we going to teach them the ancient Torah, sort of, bringing our times? So we got to stretch the letter, sort of. We got to stretch the letter down so that it can reach them too, so that they will get it. But we can't connect, we can't change the letter. We can stretch it a little bit to bring it down to them so that they can enjoy the letter, but we can't change the letters. The letters have to remain intact. We can't stretch it too much, meaning You can't change it out that it doesn't remain what it is. It has to remain faithful. So that's perhaps the message of what we were learning today from the letters that have to be stretched, but not stretched too much to be able to stay intact.